Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, just had an article yesterday published that, and UK Health Radio. The plan was to have a great doubleheader today. We were going to be talking about the diabetes challenges, as well as hyperbaric oxygen and brain and concussion health. But our first guest, Tony DeGrazia, live radio, always an adventure. Somehow the connection was lost. So when we get him, we'll clue him in. If not, we're going to talk about a couple of important topics. My second guest, one of our faves, is a longtime guest, Hillary Loftus, hyperbaric oxygen and brain injury, brain health. For almost a decade, she was involved with the Help Our Warriors, HOW, organization. And she was also involved in the concussed student athlete programs. And hyperbaric oxygen is her main situation of education. And then our Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We discuss some Dr. Bob wisdom, if we could find it, and maybe a couple of emails. Again, so we were supposed to talk about diabetes, so I'm going to talk about it. We were planning, and hopefully we'll get him back if we don't get him today. Tony, who's a longtime diabetic advocate, he is a member of the board of LEAP, L-E-A-P, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention. My longtime college professor, podiatry school professor, Dr. Lawrence Rubin, founded this organization over a decade ago. And the amazing stat that stands out, one of them, is almost 80% of these hundreds of thousands of lower leg amputations, diabetes-related amputations, that might start with foot symptoms, can be prevented. And I'm very excited to be very involved on the side of the juvenile type 2 diabetes, which is a scourge, pre-diabetes, another scourge. This is a real epidemic. The taking care of a diabetic for life will break us financially when it comes to all the different problems that are related to diabetes. And one of the important aspects, of course, is that many of the first symptoms noted in diabetes is foot problems, furthest area from the heart. Dr. Weil, my feet are numb. You know, I'm getting burning pain. Man, my feet are hot. And other kinds of symptoms, let alone pressure areas and or wounds, that might be resistant to healing because of the diabetes. Ironically, eye doctors also see early symptoms in the world of diabetes. And my involvement from the sports doctor on down or to either side is the importance, again, juvenile type 2 diabetes. The name had to be changed. Two decades ago, it was adult onset type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is a born with situation that's usually insulin dependent with all of its challenges. Although there are great athletes, professional athletes who become athletes, even fighting type 1 diabetes. But type 2 is acquired, and it's always been lifestyle related, nutrition related, lack of exercise related. So on the sports doctor, we're going to make a big deal. Okay, Tony, you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to pipe you right in later. Tony, again, we were just talking about diabetes and type 2 diabetes, and we were talking about some of the big challenges. So welcome, and why don't you give us some quickie background on yourself? I mentioned that you're a long-term diabetic. I mentioned that you're a member of the board with the lower extremity amputation prevention with my longtime podiatry professor, Dr. Lawrence Rubin. But give us, please, some background and your diabetes world.
I was just thinking about that. I was diagnosed back in 2012. And because I didn't have insurance at the time, I was diagnosed by a doctor at a free clinic in Allegan, Michigan. And the one thing that stands out to me is how very little was told to me about what to expect as a, you know, future diabetic. And as I went to other GPs, once I got decent insurance, I realized that very little was told to me about, you know, what to do from here on in. For example, it took 8 years before I was actually told to see a podiatrist. And it was 9 years before I actually got diabetic shoes. And I
who knows in the future will get you an orthotic. Then you'll really have the gold program.
yeah. It's right. Amazing.
Well, amazing. We've come a long way, baby. And that's why we wanted to hear, you know, we've come a long, long way. We're paying big, big attention to this epidemic that I was talking about right before you joined me. The fact that financially it'll break us. A lifelong diabetes is a very, very expensive, let alone dangerous in so many ways. So as you went from these frustrations, now here we are years later, and you decided to do something about it, you went from learning about it, and again, you talk about the fact that, you know, it was almost you feel a stigma where, you know, maybe people weren't willing to talk much about it, or there wasn't a heck of a lot of attention being paid. But you've been a big part of the fact that awareness has grown dramatically.
Yes.
But we're still treading water, aren't we?
Well, one thing that I have considered is that, you know, on a daily walk, when I'm out with people, talking with my friends and strangers, different people that I meet, it comes to bear that we really don't talk about diabetes all that much. I think that maybe part of the stigma is that so many people have it. Other people just think, you know what? You know, there's more important things to talk about these
days.
Well,
this was the shocker, Tony. This was the shocker that they had to change the name. Again, I was talking about this right before you joined us, of adult onset diabetes because of all the teenagers they were seeing. Dramatic increase with the obesity. I've been talking about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor for over 3 decades, give or take a few weeks. And we're still up to our ears in these challenges. And this is why I've decided to help the organizations as much as I can in the relevancy and the importance of exercise, keep moving, as one of our biggest weapons to try to make a difference in juvenile type 2 diabetes, pay huge attention to nutrition. And this is, again, the mental aspect's a big deal. Do you find that the progress is being made? Again, as people realize, right before you came on, I was talking about eye doctors and foot doctors, podiatrists, being the first people many times who see symptoms In diabetes. People might not understand that they're diabetic until they go to the podiatrist. You know, why are my feet numb, or why are my feet burning, et cetera, et cetera, and let alone wound healing that we've seen, or this scary end game. Tony, talk a little bit about your involvement in LEAP and their goals and some of the things that are so important on your perspective.
Well, first and foremost, it's all about, you know, having the knowledge get out there, first of all, so that people know to see a podiatrist, you know, on the minimal be once a year with a podiatrist to talk about your diabetes.
A diabetic shouldn't even cut their own toenails.
Exactly.
They should have the supervision of podiatry, let alone the biomechanical problems of a long-term diabetic. You know, my knees hurt and my ankles hurt and I got all sorts of arthritis, et cetera, et cetera. But even if those symptoms aren't present, the educational side of at least once a year makes so much sense. We've seen tremendous growth in the general practitioners and in many of the other experts, orthopedics, pediatrics. But again, the challenge really remains. You know, when Dr. Lawrence talked about, and I've had him on numerous times on The Sports Doctor, and he said 80% of these thousands of lower foot and leg amputations are preventable. I found it shocking, and I've been a podiatrist for 50 years, give or take a few weeks.
Yeah.
So it took you all that long to learn, and what is your involvement, Tony, whether it's in your community or the various organizations? How do you reach out and add the educational side, which I know you find so important? What are some of the things you're involved with?
Well, talking with Dr. Rubin on many occasions about how to go about bringing this to the attention of people that need to know. One of the things that we were talking about is, based upon my former experience as a Lutheran minister, is going into the churches and encouraging the pastors and the ministers in these churches to open their doors to the idea of free foot inspections.
Yes.
For their congregational members.
I'm hoping to get the thousands of podiatrists around the country to maybe dedicate a day a month to the whole idea of the free screening scenario. We're talking a lot with Dr. Lawrence about some of these different things about. And again, we would say the same thing with the school system. All the kids are involved in
yes.
the school. I wrote an article, Tony, in 2008 called Let's Get Them Walking. And the whole point was getting walking part of the curriculum in school at all levels. And good luck to me in getting the schools to change and include things, but we're coming a long way, baby. Again, the idea that obesity, let alone the problem with social media and the problem with the post-pandemic, diabetes has exploded.
Yes, it has. And, you know, one of the saddest things that I remember is when my children started going to school, and I would ask them, how did you do in PE today? How was that? Did you run? Did you play? Did you get outdoor time? And it was always no, because for some reason, for the longest time, schools have decided that PE is no longer important.
Oh, you know, we've been fighting this, Tony. I've been fighting it my whole career, usually successfully, when we get the right people on the show, the idea of how kids, it's more important today than ever from a mental perspective. Again,
yes.
The new medicine includes you got to keep moving. You got to. Doesn't mean you're on the team. There aren't that many kids in junior high school already. It's 1 out of 20 that are on a team. It's got to be a routine part of importance, which is why the education, the teachers, the schools. I agree. Great point. The parishes and your experience about having them. I think you know. Be very, very aware. We've got to be paying attention. I call the so much of this, Tony, on the show, I call it the mental game. You know, whether I'm talking to psychiatrists or psychologists or general practitioners or vascular people about the whole mental side, and education is such an awareness is so important. And again, you know, you made a great point. We've all been so used to the diabetes as part of the natural point of things that maybe, you know, we've been reluctant to make as big a deal out of it as we need to. I think that's a big point you made.
I see my role also, it goes over to what I do on Facebook, you know, telling friends and family members about all of the hurdles and all the battles that diabetics put up with. And I don't think, you know, many people really understand it the way that the diabetic patient does. Is that one doctor told me, and he said it perfectly. He says, diabetes, just imagine that each cell in your body is running 24/7. That means that 24/7, you're not getting any rest. There's no real rest with diabetes. There's actually something called diabetic fatigue. And the fatigue part is the part that's often missed
because it's mixed in with 19 other things that can make a difference with someone's fatigue or energy. And this is, again, why the whole world of holistic medicine, which I have featured for decades compared to the American way, which is, you know, give it an injection, take a pill, or get surgery. And deal with situations after. And this has been a big challenge, Tony, for our healthcare system. Everything you're mentioning, is there a particular site or people to that you could refer to find out about all of this regarding about you or your work? Should they go to your Facebook page?
If they Google up LEAP, things will come at them. Not necessarily knowing if some of those are actually up to date at this point. I don't want to say that they are, but I don't want to say that they aren't. But there's a basic...
Who's up to date? Yes, right.
Who's up to date
in the world of the... But the idea, again, of there are professional athletes. Jay Cutler comes to mind from the Bears, live from Chicago. Type 1 diabetic, became a professional athlete. One of the great German Zverev tennis players. It can be controlled, type 1, lifelong, big education, health area on the other side. Tony, hold on, everybody. We'll be right back at the Sports Doctor. Again, LEAP organization they can look up. I know we got a little short-sighted, but we'll clean it up. Tony, hold on.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Everybody, welcome back to Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome back one of our faves, longtime guest, Hilary Loftus. Hyperbaric oxygen brain injury, health advocate, long time. So, Hilary, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's great to be here. Pleasure.
You know, Hilary has spent almost 10 years with the Howe Foundation, helping our wounded, the whole brain health situation. She was very involved with the concussed student athlete program. And Hilary and I, we've been talking, I don't know how many years, about the excitement of hyperbaric oxygen and brain health. Give us some background on all of this and what you're up to now.
Sure. So hyperbaric oxygen therapy has been around for so many years. Actually, it first started in the 1600s, believe it or not. But even today, there are quite a few people that haven't heard of it yet. And the FDA has approved it over the years for 15 diagnoses, including wound care, non-healing diabetic.
Oh, that's what it's about. You know, the funny, you'd think with the 12 shows we've done that everybody would know about it, you know? But hyperbaric oxygen, besides Michael Jackson sleeping in a chamber, he thought it would be an anti-aging. Ironically, it is. But it's podiatry and foot and leg wounds and diabetic wounds, and diabetic oxygen has been enhancing healing. That's really where it came from. The brain stuff, you guys had a lot to do. My mm-hmm. friends in Israel, the Aviv Clinic, all of a sudden, you know, there was a lot of excitement regarding the brain wound mm-hmm. and the brain yeah. health side and our warriors. How long were you involved with that, with the brain injury
side? The Howe Foundation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Howe Foundation started back in 2014. And I came on the scene in 2015 when I moved to Florida from Connecticut, where I'd been working in healthcare with PTs, OTs, and speech therapists. So anyway, and back in the day, there was back in 2015 even, there was so little knowledge about how hyperbaric oxygen therapy actually heals the brain. And there was, good funding at that time, but Howe had treated a former NFL player whose concussions had been from 30 years ago, actually. And they gave him 40 sessions and improved his all kinds of symptoms. And he and his wife were both very, very happy with the results. And I also saw a number of veterans that had...
Well, your background, was your dad a heart surgeon, heart doctor?
Yes, he was, actually. I was raised in a medical family. My father was the
right.
first cardiovascular surgeon in Stamford, Connecticut, and he loved what he did, and he used to talk about it every night at the dinner table and about all his patients and what the innovations in heart surgery were improving their outcomes. And I think really it's kind of genetic that... back then that was a pioneering field. I mean, that's really dating myself, right? But now it's brain science is the,
Well, I think in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have back one of my teammates with the National Fitness Hall of Fame, Dr. Maroon,
who's been the, the neurosurgeon to Pittsburgh for who knows how many decades.
And 40 years.
The acceptance of the effectiveness and hyperbaric oxygen, I mean, basically, unless it falls on you, has virtually no side effects. It's safe in so many ways. And what was some of the excitement you got with the concussed student athlete program?
Right. Well, as we were saying before, with a diabetic, how it heals the diabetic non-healing wounds and it prevents amputation. So it heals concussions, which are a wound in the brain, right? A concussion, a wound in the brain, whether it's a concussion, a stroke, even post-traumatic stress is a kind of brain wound because of the toxic chemicals from the, from the stress, the cortisol, adrenaline, all that, that cause damage in the brain. So the hyperbaric, medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy gets rid of, it reduces the inflammation, and it promotes stem cells, which heal the organ.
Yeah, in English, it helps promote healing. What's the best website for you and your consulting group?
So best one is HBOTconsulting.com. So my company, which I founded in 2019 because I became so obsessed with the outcomes of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and I wanted to work with it as much as possible, and Health Foundation, I was just working with them.
Is the NFL paying attention? I think they are.
Well, yeah, the NFL actually gave Dr. Joe Maroon an award in 2022 for his paper on how hyperbaric oxygen therapy heals the brain. So, as you say, we've come a long way, baby, with the NFL and brain injuries.
Well, don't you remember the protocol years ago, if an athlete got a dinger or really got their head slammed around, came to the sidelines as an example, someone would say, how many fingers? Oh, two. Okay, go back. Today, there's all sorts of protocols. There's all sorts of rules and regulations. Although one of my Hall of Fame patient friends years ago with the Bears, one of their linebackers, he'd say, if I got my hand wrung, I came to the sidelines, they say, how are you? I say, my foot hurts. So they wouldn't cheat me out. I think he was being sarcastic.
So
but the tremendous attention to concussions, and again, there ain't no safe tackle football, everybody. Are you listening? It just ain't.
Well, and the big problem, too, Dr. Bob, speaking of tackle football, is the repetitive head injuries.
Yes.
And so everybody that knows anything about, brain injuries, the brain, and
why don't they listen to me? Every game, you watch a football game tomorrow, and you will see, besides the regular concussion stuff or trauma, exciting things happen. These players still bang helmets. It's unbelievable. They still bang helmets.
They changed the rules. I know. Rules have been changed. It's much better. But especially with the little children, and this is something I've done, been connected with Max Parkman Foundation for about a year and a half. It's a wonderful organization. They know a lot now about repetitive head injuries. And they were founded actually because of, their son who was a big athlete, football, wrestling, and snowboarding, and suffered a number of repetitive head injuries, which nobody knew anything about back then, and actually died by suicide in 20.
Yes, I had Bruce on my show. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I had him on the show a few months ago, like you know. He was
the dad,
connection that you put together. He's one of those unbelievable stories. He's such a champion to decide to really try to do something about this. Again, you have athletes, the shortstop is 6'7", 20. You got 19 guys throwing 100 miles an hour, bigger, faster, stronger times. And youth sports is even worse.
Yeah, that ball. I mean, we've treated.
Yes, so the idea of
a
technology is a big deal. How have you found the schools and the, besides Florida, the medical community, adding more ability to have hyperbaric oxygen included in their routine hospital?
Well, you know, a lot of the pro teams are doing it. They have hyperbaric oxygen therapy, only they keep it a secret because it is really a legal competitive advantage. Because if you have a player...
What else is new? Really, that's funny.
I know, right? Yeah, if your team has a player that gets injured...
Well, they can afford it. Plus, they've got the money.
A concussion or a pulled muscle.
To afford it. If somebody
wants
to ask you, Hillary, yes, if somebody says, you know, the repetitive trauma I've had, Don Brady, a psychologist in high school, was on my show 10 years ago, longer maybe. We were talking about what he was seeing in high school, you know, with these kids with, you know, the problems with sleeping or anger or whatever because of whatever the team they were on.
Mental health problems.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the idea, again, how about the performance side? You know, like we make such a big deal with high performance on the Sports Doctor. That's been exciting. Nothing's wrong with doing hyperbaric twice a month to enhance performance. Mm-hmm. That's my sports medicine revelation of the day.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the docs that I work with, Dr. Paul Johnson, I worked with him. He just did a presentation for the International Hyperbaric Association on hyperbaric oxygen therapy and sports optimization. So I can send you his, with his permission, I can send you his PowerPoint if you'd like.
Yes. That's no wonder what's his name from the Sharks. You know, what's his name and his portable oxygen, the idea with the, Kevin, what's his name? Kevin, from hyperbaric.
Yes.
Well, it's exciting to see, the senior population, my friends with Senior Magazine, Rick Baba, a lot of excitement also on the dementia side. Again, mental brain health is a big topic, yes?
It's so important, you know, because we're living longer and longer, which is great, but we want to have an optimal life. We want to have a happy, healthy, productive
Hillary
life.
Hillary Loftus, Hillary, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. We're going to be right back after the break and talk more about some of the senior side with, again, Hillary Loftus, hyperbaric oxygen. It's a sports doctor, everybody. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor, Dr. Bob Weil. We have one of our favorite guests, Hillary Loftus, the whole world of hyperbaric oxygen. You know, right before the break, we were talking about the high-performance side. And we also were talking about some of our senior friends. Huge topic, dementia, Alzheimer's, to say the least. And what's going on in that world of awareness and education and or treatment that you see, Hillary?
Well, I'd say there are really two facets of that, Dr. Bob. So one of them is that dementia, some types of dementia are caused by, you know, neuroinflammation. And so hyperbaric gets rid of the inflammation in the brain. And there are studies, too, about Alzheimer's and early Alzheimer's. And I know that Dr. Shia Frati up at Aviv is doing a lot of work about that.
Yes, and he was my guest live. He was live from Israel. Matter of fact,
he's supposed to
be coming back, or one of his associates. But he again was talking about, again, that excitement side. Again, in English, you're enhancing healing, whether it's the amount and or the rapidity, with few, if any. So are there any side effects for the most part with hyperbaric, Hillary?
No. I mean, sometimes people might get a little bit of blurry vision, but it goes away. And, you know, there are certain contraindications. For example, if somebody has a collapsed lung, they cannot go in the chambers. But we recommend always medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy that needs to be prescribed by an MD or a DO.
Yes, you know, with the explosion of some of this information reminds me of the world of massage therapy, you know, where all of a sudden on every corner of personal training where you have, and I remember one of the things that Bruce talked about was with his organization was trying, again, being able to recommend who's got these medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen compared to some maybe therapy clinic that doesn't. Talk a little bit about that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that my company does because I only work with MDs and DOs and, you know, very safe and compliant medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
So what specialties do you work with, Hillary? What specialties do you deal with? General practitioners? What else? Neurosurgeon? Neurology?
Sure, yes. Podiatrist, you know, for diabetic non-healing wounds, for wound care. Neurologists, pediatricians, sports medicine docs, family practitioners, I think we said.
Yes, what are the ages? Well, I'm glad you mentioned the, is it like 3 to 103? Right.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, as long as they are, the doc checks them out and says that they're fine to go in the chambers, then yes. And, you know, back to your question before, the second aspect of dementia, ALS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, is that many of those are a result of repetitive head injuries and concussions. So as they see in the older football, hockey players, even some lacrosse players and soccer players that have headed the ball.
Yeah, lacrosse. So, you know how long I've been trying to get the helmet? In girls' lacrosse, there's no helmet. In boys' lacrosse, there's helmets. I thought I'd throw that in for you. I mean, there are a few sports more physical than lacrosse.
Yes, I know. And, you know, even just getting pushed and shoved to the ground. I mean, the heads don't even have to hit to get a concussion.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. Big point you just made. Collision sports, wrestling, jumping, pounding sports.
Yes, as Bruce Parkman, says and educates people on and creates this awareness, your kids should not be playing two contact sports. You know, pick one. I mean, do wrestling and then tennis, or wrestling and, you know, I mean, baseball, you can get hit by a ball, but less repetitive head injuries and concussions than wrestling. Same thing with football and golf, or, you know, soccer and golf, but do not let your kids play two contact sports at the same time.
Well, I'm excited about the explosion of flag football because whether it's girls and even the whole world of football, sooner or later, you know, I'm watching the college game, my alma mater, Louisville. The whole offensive line of the other team was 325 pounds. All these guys run 4.6, 40s. I mean, the collisions are unbelievable. I got news for you in youth football and the old, just no way you should have your son playing tackle football before adolescence. But we also have the challenge of specialization, you know, where you got very, very early already. These kids are getting very, very serious at their sport. Football is one of them. The more talented your son or daughter is, whatever their sport is, the more the pressure's on. That's why I ask individuals like yourself, Hillary, who are involved in all this, I got to ask you How's your psychology skills?
Well, I majored in psychology in college.
I knew it. Okay.
That helps, yes. And, you know, I also, I worked with a lot of young, you know, student athletes. And so we train them about the brain and about hyperbaric oxygen therapy and how it heals the brain. And we get them to talk to their peers because the young people would rather listen to, you know, people like them, young people, and they'll you know, we'll help them talk about their head injuries. We emphasize that. If you get a head injury,
you know, the crazy insurance world, of course, is so, such a big deal, let alone, I won't mention the word politics, the whole insurance world. What's been the feedback, if at all, about insurance coverage for hyperbaric? Is it included like physical therapy and other treatments?
Yeah, well, as you know, for the FDA-approved diagnoses, there are 15 of them now, Medicare and private insurances will pay, you know, for insurance.
What are some of the diagnoses?
You have to document it very thoroughly.
Give me an example of some of the diagnoses, if you would.
Well, one diagnosis that not a lot of people know about, and it's so important, is radiation burns. So if someone has breast cancer or throat cancer and they've received radiation, you know, to kill the cancer, which is great, and then they're cancer-free, but they might have these tissue or bone, you know, destruction. And the medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy is paid by insurance for this treatment. And it will heal their bones.
They got to check with their doctor. Give us again the website, you and your work.
It is HBOT, H-B-O-T, which is the nickname for medical-grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So it's hbotconsulting.com.
Great. And again, in the future, we want to pay more attention to enhancing performance side possibility. Again, talking about some of these different challenges where parents might ask how many sessions might be necessary if my son or daughter has had a concussion.
That's a really good question. And, you know, we like to get them the sooner the better because Dr. Daphne Denham, who I think you might have had on your show too, she told me, I don't know, 7 years ago, I think that if you can get a concussed student athlete into a chamber within 10 days of their concussion, they might only need 3 sessions because the inflammation is fresh then. But it's like one of
the... Yeah, such a big deal. I'm so glad that you added that along with 19 other things we talked about. Again, I want to thank Hillary Loftus, all the great work that she's doing in the whole world of brain health, let alone, again, that hyperbaric oxygen is a great connection. And again, with the HYBT.com, right, Hillary? Did I get it right?
HBOT, like, you know, the nickname for hyperbaric oxygen.
All right. Hold on, Hillary.
Okay. Thank you for being
We'll be right back. Hold on. Thank you so much. Hold on. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix, and maybe a couple of emails we get in. We got some great guests coming up. This new group, That One, number one, this powerhouse podcast group of entrepreneurs and podcast hosts, and their co-founder, Mike Sciarocco, will be joining me next week, and they represent some of the top podcasts in the country and such tremendous 400-500 individuals, entrepreneurs, doctors, therapists, biohackers, etc. And matter of fact, one of the that one individuals with a top podcast is Dylan Gemelli, and he'll be my second guest. So we're going to have some excitement with these two guys, talk about the explosive world of podcasts, and again, the marriage with the kind of topics that we talk about on the Sports Doctor all the time, which again is with sports medicine, health, wellness, lifestyle changes, etc. Following week, one of our longtime guests, and faves, Joel Franco. Joel, co-founder of Chesapeake Film, which was Chesapeake. Now I think he's out in Vegas. Sport parent for years. And again, he helped launch on the Sports Doctor his documentary, soon to be out, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. I think Joel was one of those frustrated sports dads, looking at all the challenges and crazy things that were going on. Got to be 5-6 years ago when he launched some of these ideas, and I was had him on the show. We talked about different aspects of what should be involved in this whole area. And what's amazing is when we started talking about it, Joe would say, you know, it's a $12, $13 billion a year business, youth sports, and all these challenges, and so many things going wrong, and crazy parents, yada, yada. We talked today, he said it's $100 billion a year. And in the various times, we said $20 billion, $25 billion. So he's going to catch us up on what's going on, again, with this whole other direction. And my participation was all about adding what counts in preventing injuries, in talking about what I included in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Volleyball Hall of Famer Sharky and radio host Sharky Zartman, the whole, again, challenge of some of these kids who specialize very early and some of those different challenges. Desiree Cassell, her discussions and aspects of health and wellness, the challenges of all aspects, and her different aspects with her podcast that she's involved with That One. So I'm hoping to confirm
that she'll also be joining us. You know, with some Dr. Bob wisdom, I want to reiterate again the new medicine. I've started really paying big attention to the new medicine, 6 months ago, on the Sports Doctor with these various guests I would have, whether it was in the world of psychology, whether it was in the world of psychiatry, whether it was in the world of mental training. A couple of months ago, we had Gerard Wouters from the Netherlands. Well, he's a Taoist talking about lifestyle changes 2,500 years ago. Simplicity, compassion, empathy that make as much sense today as they did then. Big attention to the new medicine, which is, again, number one, eat smarter. We could talk all day with our colleagues in nutrition and dietitian, with our colleagues in that whole world of anti-aging medicine, and our friends in sports pharmacy with supplements. So, again, eating smarter has an awful lot to do with all of that. And again, we leave it up to the individual to define smarter. We all know what we're talking about. Number two is keep moving. Number three, reduce stress. We want to pay attention to that. The new medicine. Eat smarter. Keep moving. Whatever your choice is, go to the gym, do Pilates, reduce stress. Pay attention. Thanks to our friends. See you next week.